Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. My original History Reviewed YouTube channel was banned in December 2016. Another channel was banned early in 2017. My 10 new YouTube channels were all banned at the beginning of June 2017. My PayPal account was stopped at the same time. For months before my channels were banned, my videos were being banned across Europe, especially in France, Germany, and Italy. I'm running videos from my website at historyreviewed.com. My website is my central index for all my videos. You can search for any videos that I've ever done. Today we're going to take a look at something very gruesome. But you know, there isn't really anything anymore that I'm coming across that shocks me. Nothing shocks me anymore, because the world is so crazy nowadays. But of course, the liberals and the Jews were telling us all that things are bad and people are bad because we white people, we are the reason other people are bad, and that if we change our behavior, then others will improve. We've now had 23 years of black rule, and all those predictions by the liberals, Jews, and communists are not coming to pass. All the stuff that they said would happen hasn't been happening. And on the topic of gruesome murders, the other day I posted a story on historyreviewed.com, which you may want to check out. It comes from the USA, and it's a story about a rich Jew's son who decided to torture his Ukrainian girlfriend. He tortured her for hours, cut parts of her scalp off, murdered her, and drank her blood. So here's the story that we're going to look at from South Africa quickly. On News 24, which is one of our biggest media outlets, they have this short story. No photographs, just a quick little story. And this is how most of the murders and hideous crimes are. They don't make a big song and dance about it, despite the facts being absolutely awful. In fact, News 24 doesn't even talk about the fact that the boy was thrown into boiling water and stuff like that. All that they say is family executed in Walkerville. Now, this story is quite old. It's from 2011. But this is South Africa, and lots of things happen that you don't even get to hear about. I only came across this today, even though this thing happened years ago. And there are so many crimes, and they are so gruesome, but not all of them make it into the newspapers. But this one, I managed to find a couple of pictures and a bit of a story. And this is from back then. So it reads as follows. 2011, 3rd of October. Johannesburg. A family of three, including a 13-year-old boy, has been found shot dead on their small holding in Walkerville, south of Johannesburg, according to a report on Monday. Captain Shado Mashabane told Beeld newspaper it was suspected that the boy's mother had been raped before being shot dead. The boy and his father were shot dead execution style. The police found their bodies on Sunday after finding the family's car deserted in Orange Grove. orange groves not too far from where I live. That's also an area that's gone downhill. The body of Geraldine Viana, 46, was found in the main bedroom while her husband, Tony Viana, 50, seems to have been shot dead in the lounge. He was found on his stomach with his hands tied behind his back. The body of Amaro Viana, 13, was found in the bath with his hands tied behind his back. He was a grade 7 pupil at Linmayer Primary School. His father was the owner of MSV Tooling in Germiston. No arrests have been made. A long time ago, quite a number of members of my family lived in Germiston. And Germiston at one point was a place where there were lots of engineering businesses. Really good engineering businesses. Some of them very big. Anyway, so this was from News 24 in 2011. Now, there were some British websites that carried more details. As you can see, the South African stuff is short. It doesn't even take you to the main points. And that's how the murders are reported in South Africa. They don't make a big song and dance about it, even if it's something really, really nasty. So in the Daily Telegraph, in July 2012, after they'd caught the criminals, this is what they wrote in the Daily Telegraph. They changed the story, and they started at least writing something that points out some of the horror of what was happening. It says, South African 12-year-old drowned in boiling water after seeing parents killed. A 12-year-old boy was drowned in boiling water after seeing his mother raped and killed and his father hacked to death by three men who broke into his home south of Johannesburg, South Africa. So it continues. Amaro Jose Viana, a South African of Portuguese descent, was first gagged and then drowned because he would have been able to identify his family's assailants, according to court reports. Oh, and by the way, when it says hacked to death by three men, it doesn't say three black men. South African stories and these overseas stories don't tell you who's white and who's black. That's all part of the liberal nonsense to hide the fact that blacks are busy murdering whites. So anyway, you see, in this case, you're dealing with Portuguese South Africans, and many of these Portuguese people came from either Angola or Mozambique. And then they carved out a life for themselves in South Africa. And often they do very well, especially in business. The Portuguese often go into business and they do well. So let's continue. The sobbing child had been forced to watch as his father, Tony Viana, 53, was tied up and assaulted with a panga. Now, they say with a panga hunting knife. Nah, that's wrong. A panga is the same as a machete. So, it's not a hunting knife. It's the same as a machete. So, it seems he was assaulted with a panga and a golf club before his mother, Geraldine, was raped and then shot with his father's gun. His father was then also shot dead, and the family dog's stomach was cut open. The dog apparently had been barking a lot. I saw that in another news story. So they cut the dog's stomach open. On Wednesday, Patrick Radebe, 24, the family's gardener. Sipo Mbele, 21, their domestic worker's son. And Sipiwe Motong, 20, were led back to the cells laughing after Radebe and Mbele pleaded guilty to 3 charges of murder and 1 of rape, and Motong pleaded guilty to house robbery charges. Although overall crime rates are dropping in South Africa, so there's the liberal twist. This is now back then, 2012. I doubt it's been dropping. So it says, overall crime rates are dropping in South Africa. Violent robberies are still all too common, but the level of brutality revealed in the Walkerville case, heard at the regional court in Vereeniging, an industrial city 40 miles south of Johannesburg, has sent shockwaves through the country. The men's lawyer told the court that they had broken into the house in the suburb of Walkerville to steal the family's possessions and seek revenge for their alleged mistreatment by their employer, 42-year-old Mrs. Viana. So they were seeking revenge on the Portuguese lady. In Angola, the blacks were very brutal towards the Portuguese. We're still going to get to that. So it continues. We went to the bathroom and turned on the tap. The statement made by one of the defendants read, according to Beeld newspaper. We went to Amaro, that's the young boy, and gagged him because he was crying. We forced him into the bath face down, knowing that he would drown. The men will be sentenced on September 6th. So, they chucked the little Portuguese boy into boiling water and drowned him. And that's that, eh? Life is cheap. Then the Daily Mail in the UK had photos, and they put the story in better context. So they said, the murders so brutal, they shocked even South Africa. But I must be honest with you, I don't think anything shocks anyone anymore. Well, at least it doesn't shock me. And despite the other statement that crime is going down, they've been saying that crime is going down for the last 20 years. They talk all their nonsense. We'll get back to that. So in the Daily Mail in the UK, they say, sobbing child was tied up and gagged before being murdered in bath because he could identify them. The 3 men assaulted the father with a golf club and blade before shooting both adults. Family dog had stomach cut open. Trio worked for the family and said killings were revenge for being badly treated. Even in a country that sees 44 murders a day, the case has left the public horrified. And remember, these 44 murders a day, this is after the government has sanitized the statistics, after it's brought everything down. The police engage in all kinds of tricks to bring down the crime rates and to fiddle the numbers. I'm quite certain that one can say safely that the actual crime rate is about double what they say it is. Easily, because even in my neighborhood, when I used to attend the community police forums, people would say to the cops, to the white cops, they'd say, oh, I reported this and this. And the cops would say, what? You reported that? No, I don't remember that. And people would look at the statistics for our suburb and they'd say, but this is wrong. This isn't here. That isn't there. That isn't there. And then after the police get it, it still goes to the statistics, people in the government, and they still fiddle it down even more. And they publish it a year later. And that is how it works in South Africa. So you don't really know what the crimes are, because by the time they release the statistics, it's a year later. This is as a result of laws that they made in the year 2000. President Mbeki, who was loved by the Jews, he changed the law. He made it so that they can hide crime statistics for a year and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, a gang of robbers gunned down a father, raped and murdered his wife. Then, in a final act of sickening brutality, they drowned the couple's 12-year-old son in bathwater. Amaro Vayana was murdered to prevent him from identifying the three housebreakers who carried out the raid in suburban South Africa. The gang included the family's gardener and the son of a domestic servant. It was claimed they were motivated by the way they had been treated by the Vayana family. Appearing in court yesterday, the gardener, Patrick Radebe, 24, confessed to being part of the gang which broke into their home in October last year. Vereeniging Regional Court heard that after gaining access to the house in Walkerville, a suburb of Johannesburg, the gang lay in wait for Amaro's engineer father, Tony, 53, to arrive home. When he walked through the front door, they attacked him with golf clubs and a machete-like knife. Well, they keep saying knife. A panga is not a knife, it's a machete. It's a big thing, you chop people's arms off. And while I'm at it, I should mention that in Kulini, where a couple of months ago the blacks were burning down the whites' houses and tearing up the town, I heard from Kulini that blacks are gathering regularly now in meetings, and the blacks have got pangas, lots of pangas, and they're busy talking and wanting to discuss things with the whites. It's sounding pretty nasty. So anyway, when the Portuguese man walked in through the door, they attacked him with golf clubs and a machete, panga, and they ordered him to tell them where the family safe is and to open it. Then it goes on and says, when Mr. Vayana's wife, Geraldine, 43, and her son returned to the property, they too fell victim. Mother and son were tied up in separate rooms. Two of the men then raped Mrs. Vayana before both she and her husband were shot dead. See, I think the raping is also a sort of domination thing. They are now showing these whites that they're the boss now, over and above the fact that they are just lunatics, these blacks. So it continues. According to their court confession, Radebe and his co-accused, Sifo Mbele, 21, realized that the couple's son, if left alive, may be able to identify them to police. We went to the bathroom and turned on the tap. The pair's statement read, we gagged him because he was crying. We forced him into the bath face down, knowing that he would drown. The Vayana's family dog was also killed when its stomach was slit open with a knife. Thankfully, Mr. Vayana's daughter from his first marriage, Gabriella, was not at her father's home when the robbers struck. Despite a recent improvement in crime statistics, South Africa remains one of the most dangerous countries in the world. And here it also mentions, the three men laughed as they walked back to their cells after pleading guilty. An average of just under 44 people a day are murdered there. This compares with 1.5 in England and Wales, which has a similar sized population. So that gives you an idea of the violence of South Africa. So they say that in England and Wales together, which has about the same sized population as South Africa, they have 1.5 murders a day, and South Africa has 44. So if you divide that, then you get a ratio that South Africa is 29 times more violent than England and Wales. 29 times more violent. And I tell you, in all seriousness, those statistics are not correct. The murder rate is even higher than 44 a day. Because 44 a day is 16,000 a year, which is the same as the whole of the United States. So South Africa's population of 50 million, there are as many murders in our 50 million as there are in America's 300 million. But these numbers are not correct because they now were saying for 2011 or 2012 that it's 16,000 a year. That's not true. Even their own fudged numbers were 18,000 a year. But before Mbeki introduced this business of counting the statistics and only issuing a formal report a year later and all that, the actual murder rate was 30,000 per year. It was 30,000. It was more than 30,000 a year. I've always regarded the actual murder rate as being at least double what the official figures show. So when they say 44 people a day, the reality could be 88 people a day. So it says, apart from war zones, South Africa's murder rate is surpassed only by Latin American nations embroiled in gruesome battles with drug gangs. But I assure you that if we had the right statistics, we would exceed even that. Diane Kohler Bernard, the country's shadow minister of police, said the murder of the Viana family was awful. Women are raped and people are shot every day, the opposition Democratic Alliance politician said. But the fact that a 12-year-old was killed is horrific. There will be shock. Mbele and Radebe pleaded guilty to charges of housebreaking with intent to steal, aggravated robbery, rape, 3 counts of murder, possession of an unlicensed firearm, unlawful possession of ammunition, and intentional damage to property. The culprit's lawyer, Charmaine Castleman, claimed the men carried out the attack to somehow get back at Mrs. Viana for the way she had previously treated them. Describing the sexual assault, she said, first Mbele raped her while Radebe helped him by standing on her head. So the one was raping her and the other one was standing on her head. Then Radebe raped her while Mbele held a pillow over her face. A third gang member, Sipiwe David Motong, 20, had previously pleaded guilty to burglary with intent to steal, aggravated robbery, and damage to property. According to one report, they were led back to their cells, smiling after being in court. Now, I've not even dug into what happened to these bastards afterwards, but I can tell you that in South Africa, because we don't have the death sentence anymore, because the black government took away the death sentence, they let these criminals out, and they let them out by the tens of thousands. And if I recall correctly, even if you are charged with murder, even if you're a serial killer, you'll be out of jail within 10 years. I'm not kidding you. You'll be out of jail in 10 years. 10 years or less. Within 10 years, you'll be back on the streets. That's why these blacks are laughing. They know nothing's going to happen to them. They're going to sit in jail for a time. They're going to have a wonderful time in jail. They won't have to work. They'll get free medical, free everything, and they'll be fine. No, they're enjoying it. And that's that. But there are lots of other crimes where whites are tortured, man. They are tortured to death. And there's just so much of this going on, you can't keep track of it. I've stopped trying to count or keep track of it years ago. Now, Alex Linder found a story which he posted, which I also put on historyreview.com, where the Minister of Police in South Africa said that criminals need to be, they need to have their balls trampled on, they must crush their balls, they must drink their own urine. So he made a whole strong statement about how he's going to fight this. And I just said to Alex, man, these words that come out of the mouths of these black government officials, these things are meaningless. They're absolutely meaningless. It's not going to change anything. Next year, it will be the same as the previous year. The crime rate will be the same. The punishments will be next to nothing. They are not going to change the laws. They're not going to make it harsher on them. Not at all. Not at all. It's their buddies. It's their pals. It's their people. They will see to it that they get the minimum punishment. No, man. You'll see, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change until the day the whites stand up for themselves. And that's how this is. That's how this thing goes. It doesn't work any other way. I tell you, so many whites have died in this country. As you can see, Portuguese, Boers, all different whites are getting the same treatment, whether you're a Boer or whether you're Portuguese or Greek or English. When they catch you, they'll do to you what they want to do to you. And the sad thing is, we can't tell you how many of our people have been killed. But I think probably the best estimates for numbers of whites killed in the last 23 years is in the region of 70,000. More likely 85,000. That's more people than died in the whole of the Rhodesian War. I'm telling you, more whites have been killed in South Africa than blacks were killed by us in the Rhodesian War. That's how bad it is. It's hideous, man. It's hideous. For such a small population of whites to have lost 85,000 people. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. And yet that's what's happened in South Africa. And these liberals and Jews, they were arguing, no, 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 treat these people better. They even said to us, if the blacks want to come and steal your stuff, you must give them your stuff. Otherwise, they'll kill you. No, man. This has changed nothing. All that's happened is the blacks came, softened the laws, helped their buddies. That's why three blacks can go and murder three whites. And they're laughing. They're laughing because they know there's going to be no punishment. They won't hang for this. There's no real punishment. They're going to have a lovely life in jail. They'll come out of jail and they'll be fine. They got their revenge and they'll get a nice, soft, cushy time in jail. They are laughing at this. Laughing at it. So yeah, that's how it is in South Africa. And let me tell you something about Africa. What the black politicians say is meaningless. And when they try to pretend they're strong and they're going to get things done, and they're going to solve problems. That's nonsense, man. I've lived here long enough. And I've seen what happens today will happen next week, will happen next month, next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It will still be exactly the same. There will be no real improvement. Nothing will change. And the whites are constantly sitting and saying, when are things going to get better? When are things going to get better? And things aren't going to get better. You'll see, nothing will get better. Nothing will get better. Nothing will get better until we stand up and do something about it. And that's the lesson for all white people everywhere. You will see nothing's going to get better until you take action in your country. That's the only way that we're going to change things for ourselves. Everywhere, it's the same thing. The liberals and the Jews are doing these things. They know how to destroy societies. They are anti-white, and they lie to the whites and they say, no, no, this is not going to be so bad. You give it a chance, give it a chance, and you give it a chance and you'll see. You'll see that it never gets better. That everything they told you was a lie. Everything they told you was a lie. But it's your people that are dead. It's your lives that are ruined. Everything's falling apart. It's you that's taking the beating. And where are all those liberals and Jews afterwards? No, you won't find them anywhere. Nowhere at all. So yeah, liars, scum. I'm telling you, the only solution to the world's problems are white men with guns. Until white men with guns start cleaning up countries, nothing's going to change. I'm telling you that. You'll see. And having lived here in South Africa and worked with these blacks and all these other non-whites, these people can talk up a storm. They can talk like crazy, man. If talking was doing, these people would be superheroes. They can all talk up a storm, but they never follow through with their actions. And even if they had the intention of following up on their talk, which much of the time they don't really have any intention of doing anything, but supposing they did, you would still not see much in the way of change. Hardly anything. I've worked with these non-whites. I've seen it. I've heard it. I know how these bastards talk. In this country, all the non-whites are talking very loudly. Oh, they'll talk up a storm. They'll talk like you cannot believe. But what they can do or will do, and which of those things that they say are they really sincere about? Let me tell you, you're wasting your time listening and waiting. White people need to take control of their own futures and destinies, because if we don't, we're going to be gone. So yeah, a sober lesson for you from South Africa. Don't listen to the liberal bullshit. So that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.